Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
And thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and podcast network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps, including Amazon Music these days. We recently, in the last month or so, got onto Amazon Music. I'm Kyle, the guy over on the other side of the screen is Cam, also on the other side of the pond, as they like to call it.
True.
Cam, how's it going, man?
Not too bad.
A lot of news this week to digest. A lot of it centered on the same thing. A very slow week
up to a point, and then everything seemed to just kind of happen over the last 24, 40 hours. So.
It did. It's been a relatively interesting last few days, especially if you are into Hollywood drama. You're probably just eating this up, and I'm not talking like the what's the word I'm looking for, not like the relationship drama, but like internal, like Hollywood drama, like
film
studio
business
and
stuff.
Yes, and which I am a sucker for. So you guys can check out Daily Cup of Genre and Breaking Geek Radio this week, especially to see several episodes deep dive into the happenings over at DC and Warner Brothers, specifically surrounding Wonder Woman and now Superman. Oh my God, does that mean in January we're gonna get some Batman announcements? Because that would round out the Trinity there, right? Anyways, this is the Star Wars show, so you guys can find other things there. We got a lot of other great content, written news and reviews, and celebrity interviews and more.
I'm sure you guys have been talking about this nonstop and like Daily Cog. I haven't watched them yet because I've not had time this week, but you know, I'm guessing that's what you've been chatting about.
But there is a connection. Patty Jenkins, who was doing the Wonder Woman franchise back in 2020, had been tapped, announced to be doing directing Rogue Squadron. This was before Wonder Woman 84. She had a really fancy little intro for the announcement at Disney Plus Day or whatever it was when it was announced. Whenever it was announced. I forget the event that it was announced at. We all were kind of like, okay, yeah, we'll see how it goes. Wonder Woman was all right. We'll see what 84 is like. And after 84, a lot of people went, okay, can we talk about this pick? Especially me. However, after she was no longer able to move forward on Wonder Woman 3, the way she worded it, she did release a statement, because there was a lot of he said, she said going on the last few days. Yeah. And she mentions Rogue Squadron in this. Did you ever get it up, Cam, for you to did you ever get the article up for you to read?
That one, no. I didn't.
Okay.
So you can do that.
No
one.
Problem.
I've got the next one.
No problem. So here's her official statement that she released regarding Wonder Woman and what there is with Rogue Squadron here. She said, here are the facts. One, originally left Rogue Squadron after a long and productive development process when it became clear it couldn't happen soon enough, and I did not want to delay Wonder Woman 3 any further. When I did, Lucasfilm asked me to consider coming back to RS Rogue Squadron after Wonder Woman 3, which I was honored to do, so I agreed. They made a new deal with me. In fact, I am still on it, and that project has been in active development ever since. I don't know if it will happen or not. We never do until the development process is complete, but I look forward to its potential ahead. Real simple. Everything else pretty much goes into other things not related to Rogue Squadron, but that whole first paragraph dedicated, it was almost like she was responding to two different things because there was some Rogue Squadron stuff not in the two recent past.
There was some stuff come out that people were saying, oh, they'd heard Rogue Squadron was a mess and all that sort of stuff. This is the thing. When I reported that, this is the thing I said, though. Patty isn't writing the script for Rogue Squadron. So
no, but the direction of Wonder Woman 84 was trash too.
but that's not what would be happening at this point in the process, though, Kyle. Yeah, no. Do you know what I mean? So at this point in the process, it's about getting the script right. If there was issues with that, that wouldn't really fall on her, I would imagine. However, it does kind of back up more what we had heard, that there might be have been some technological challenges that they were not able to overcome. The way she talks about they couldn't make it quick enough to suit her and her schedule sounds like she wanted to go, but either, I'm not going to say what, but either the script wasn't ready or something else wasn't ready to push when she was. And don't get me wrong, I'd rather if something wasn't right that they did take their time. But I think this is a very different thing from Wonder Woman 84, where she kind of almost had carte blanche. I don't think she's getting that on Rogue Squadron, especially when she's not coming up with a story even to begin with herself. So this isn't like a Wonder Woman 3 situation where her pitch has been rejected, if that makes sense. I'd imagine Lucasfilm are happy with the pitch that she'd given. That's why they announced all that at first. Nothing's changed at Lucasfilm, so why would they suddenly be unhappy with it? The difference at DC is their movies have not been successful. And James Gunn and Peter Safran, I've been told, we want to have a successful film franchise, please create that. And it seems at the moment as if their decision is to just reboot and start again, which there is an argument for. But that's not possible with Star Wars. It's a completely different beast. So I don't know. It's an interesting one. But it doesn't really match the narrative that that was rumored that Rogue Squadron was a mess and they were unhappy with her. I don't get that feeling from this. And considering the amount of rubbish that's been printed recently, I mean, the reason she had to release this statement was because there was there was people reporting that she had basically walked away. They weren't doing it her way. She wasn't doing it at all. And kind of threw her toys out the pram. And from what she and James Gunn are saying, that's just not the case whatsoever. They decided to not go. I mean, a big thing why they wouldn't want to go in your direction is like, because we're not going to stick with Gal Gadot and we're going to reboot the whole thing. I could see her going, oh, that doesn't work for me. We're going to move in a completely different direction. That's why we've rejected Wonder Woman 3. I'm not saying that they will do that, but I'm just saying that would be a more realistic possibility based in the circumstances we know to be fact.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, it's to me very obvious that she, my thing froze for a second. I lost a whole 18 frames. That was weird. It does seem that she was responding to multiple things. And like I said, I have my own fears and concerns about Rogue Squadron because of her, regardless of what position, because in Wonder Woman 84, she held multiple positions, so to speak, and the movie suffered across like all aspects. That being said, she was the director for the first film, and that was relatively competent and relatively enjoyable. I wouldn't say that some people that call it, the greatest, when they say the greatest female led superhero film, I'm like, well, what do you count as a superhero film? Because it's like par for course as a superhero film in general.
We've not had a huge amount of female led superhero films.
Exactly. So it's it's kind of like, yeah,
point, you know,
compared
to that, you know, the
yeah, compared to like Catwoman,
Superman. We've never really had Wonder Woman since the old 70s TV series, right. So
right, but it's like compared to Captain Marvel, okay, yeah, sure, but if you want to start bringing in some other,
yeah,
other things,
I would probably say I thought Wonder Woman was a better movie than Captain Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. But like
it
you said,
it was better than Catwoman,
and better than Catwoman, but there's
that
not
was,
a whole
really bad.
Lot to compare to.
There's not a lot. No, Black Widow. I prefer Black Widow.
Black Widow or Wonder Woman? Because of Florence Pugh, I'll take Black Widow.
Me too.
There you go. So yeah, I do hope that in a more what do you want to call it? A more collaborative process that she will. And my camera's being stupid. Sorry, guys. That she'll do better in a,
yeah,
in a collaborative process like she did.
Why?
With the first
why would you hope
Wonder
for any
Woman.
Different? We can. At the end of the day, you say you've got fears. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But you know, we're not in the know. We haven't seen the pitches, mm-hmm, anything like that. So,
nope,
someone thinks it's a good idea, we'll judge it when and if it comes out. But I think there is still that if. There is still that if there.
It is, and she even mentions that specifically.
Yeah.
She says, I don't know if it will happen or not. We never do in the until the development process is complete. But I look forward to its potential ahead. That's a big.
That's one of the big differences with Marvel, right? So Marvel, mm-hmm, announce a project and then they say, right, we've got to this date, roughly speaking, to get a product out, and then they'll throw out any idea that doesn't work till they hit on the one that does, and then they develop that and then they keep working on it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Star Wars, you're more coming in with an idea, you're pitching that idea to begin with rather than them setting up a name, if you like. And then you have to wait and see, but if the development process goes awry, if you like, on something like that, well, you can't just go, right, let's get different writers and different creative people in and go with the same story, because they'll have their own ideas, and you know, then they're coming into something that's been created by someone else. It is slightly trickier, I think, than than what Marvel have done in their situation. So, yeah, interesting, but that seems to be how they work, and I think we just have to let that process happen.
Yeah, and it's interesting to have her comments so on point for this next story. But Sean Levy, who's been tapped to have a Star Wars movie, got to talk a bit about, you know, the process of finding out he's going to get one and things like that. Why don't you tell us what Sean had to say?
Sean spoke to Collider and just talking about it, we all know that it's been confirmed that he is developing a Star Wars film, mm-hmm, for him to direct. But he does kind of really make it clear in this interview that it is in a development stage. And the key point for him is he knows that there are developed, you know, films that have fell by the wayside, if you like, and he does not want to be one of those people. He kind of thinks this is his one chance. So, you know, he's working his ass off, basically, to try and get that right. So he starts off, you know, talking about how if you told him back when he was directing TV shows, if he'd been in a Star Wars movie one day, he'd never have you know, believed it, and how stoked and pleased he is and everything like that. But he did say this specifically about, you know, the situation we're talking about here, which Star Wars is a really bad record for. Yes, I'm very aware of the ratio of filmmakers who get to the starting line. As you know, Steve, I'm a student of the business, and Steve Weintraub that he spoke to. And so, of course, I note that. Here's my attitude. I have this golden ticket into a galaxy far away, and I'm going to devote myself to developing a screenplay that gives me the privilege of making this movie. I don't attach to things because it looks good in a trade announcement. I'm attaching to things that I intend to make. And you better believe I'm not going to squander this juiciest of opportunities. I'm going to work my ass off. But first, I got to work my ass off in making Deadpool. As you know, it's making Deadpool 3. So it's definitely longer term planning. So that kind of gives us a good idea of where we are at the moment with this one as well. But I want to be one of the movies that gets to the starting line because these are rare opportunities and I want to make the most of it. Yeah, and he does go on to say that he'd been talking with Kathy Kennedy for a while. She's aware of his passion for it. Stars Fainey line. She came to him and she was like, let's do something here. And that's as much as he can say at the moment, because obviously he doesn't want to give any of his ideas away that he has pitched to her at this moment in time. So very much Sean's movie is in the development stage at the moment. I would guess it is further behind Tykes, because this feels like where we were with, when Tykes' movie was announced as well. And that was further ago. So unless Tyke has just done a George R.R. Martin and just not written anything for the last 6 months, which I don't think is really his personality, then it's most likely that the Taika Waititi project, if you like, is at least further on in his eyes anyway than the Sean Levy one at the moment. So that kind of, I mean, there was all those rumours about a movie coming out and everything like that. So, you know, it begs the question, which is furthest along where at the moment? So we've got four Star Wars movies that we know for a fact are in development, right?
Right.
We have Rogue Squadron, Patty Jenkins, we've just talked about that. We have Kevin Feige's movie, which we know it was being written by Michael Waldron. And I think it's rumoured that, who was it rumoured to be directing it again? I've forgotten that.
I don't remember. Kevin, what's that?
I just said it doesn't matter, I guess.
Keep going.
It's because I don't think it was, you know, a definite anyway. We're not kind of at that stage for it yet. And then we've got Taika's movie, and then we've got the Sean Levy one as well. That's as far as I know, unless I'm missing any rumour that came up and, you know, or trade report that came up that I've forgotten or something. That to me is four movies in the go. And all
you forgot one. It's never been officially cancelled. Ryan Johnson's trilogy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess that is in development in terms of Ryan Johnson probably thinks about it before he goes to sleep at night. Yeah. Oh, I wonder what I'm going to do in that if I ever get
He's got a notepad filled with story.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, that one seems the furthest away of all of them. But, you know, we have four that all seem to me roughly to be in the same development stage. You know, so can we guarantee all four of them are going to be movies? I don't think we can. But which ones will and which ones won't? Let's throw a few dice up in there and see which way they land. Everybody will be determined to make a Star Wars film. They all want to pull off the Star Wars film. The only one that I would say probably it will get made at some point is Kevin Feige's movie, because he's got too much power for them to kind of say, no, you're not getting that shot, Kevin, after all the money you've made for us. You're not going to get your idea. We just don't like it and we're not
What if it's not them that says no? What if Kevin's like, you know, hold on, guys. I need to get this house that Stan built back in order, because this shit's a mess. It's like a four-year-old threw a tantrum in the MCU right now.
Right, well, yeah, I get what you mean. That's his main focus, and it should be. That's his job at the end of the day. But this is, he has made Disney a bucket load of money.
Oh, yeah.
And
if he wants to, it's happening.
And as a producer, it's up to him to pick the right script you know, do all that anyway. So that's the one I think, you know, even if it's 10 years away, we will get at some point, we will get a Kevin Feige produced Star Wars movie. But the other three, I think, could go anyway, depending on, you know, Tykes could just go into development hell. Who knows? Sean's could go off in a way where he just can't get it right. But fingers crossed all these people do nail it.
Because we would love some good Star Wars.
But it doesn't
feel
like a plan.
Andor was freaking amazing, so.
This doesn't feel to me like a plan, no, Kyle, if that makes sense. You know, it feels like different people coming with different pitches for different movies, possibly set in different time periods and not
and
particularly
I,
related to
I'm,
each other. Are you all right with that?
I'm okay with that. I don't need another saga right now. If, and I can hear Janet screaming because of the stuff in DC, and I told him that it's because of what we are sold. We were sold that the Marvel Cinematic Universe is connected and Phase 4 is leading with a multiverse. We were sold
that Star Wars is a connected universe.
So
I mean, perhaps the canon's even more. precise
we were,
in Star Wars.
We were sold on the Skywalker saga, and we were sold on certain events having, you know, they happened. We, especially as an EU reader, I'm used to and enjoyed the from the comics to the games to the novels. I enjoyed bouncing from story to story, from even time period to time period, you know, set really close to the OT, set 20 yeah. years from the OT, set during the Old Republic, all of that. I'm okay with it. That's why, as long as you don't sell me on one thing and deliver something else, I'm okay with there being a more disparate Star Wars.
I understand what you're saying.
Stories.
I do understand that.
But I would also be fine with a new saga if you sell a new saga and it is indeed a new saga.
I think so. For me, I like the long form storytelling of the original trilogy. I love a trilogy that's done right as a proper trilogy. And Star Wars to me is like the perfect trilogy, you know, up there, you know, because yes. I think there are some missteps along the way at certain points in Jedi. I accept that. Same with Godfather 3, it kind of felt like a bit, you know, at the end of that. And
yeah, but man, does Jedi not hit so hard when it does.
That's the thing. It's got more highs whereas I think Godfather 3 doesn't have enough highs to downplay the lows. Jedi does, I think. Yeah, and there's a few other, you know, trilogies out there that have kind of happened since that are connected in that way, but it kind of always felt part of Star Wars' DNA to me. So, you know, I've always said if you gave me Star Wars, in my mind, if I was writing a story to Star Wars, I would just think of it as a three-act story across three movies. That's how my mind would go, because that's when I'm going into Star Wars mode.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, as a fan, I have to say that I would like to see another trilogy at some point. That somebody's put, one of these people actually pitches, look, this isn't just one film, it's actually, you know, and here's the kind of where I'm going, you know, this is the start, roughly this would need to happen in the middle, but here's the kind of end game. I have all that in my head, but not in tremendous detail. But I've got a bit more detail for the first one. Do you buy the idea? And, you know, I'd love to see that again.
I'm down
in
with
the Star Wars
too.
Universe as well. So,
I'm down with either or, so long as whatever you're selling. And I don't mean you have to tell me the actual story. I'm fine being surprised. I'm just saying, don't tell me three projects are going to forever change the universe and then none of them do. Because I'm gonna be upset, you know, I have been with Marvel, but I'm okay with both. The one thing I'm not really okay with, though, is hanging around seriously treaded water. Like we are talking about the waters around the OT are so muddy it looks like the freaking Gulf of Mexico right now. If you've ever been on the Gulf in like Mississippi and Alabama, it's garbage looking water. That's what playing around between episodes 3 and 4 so damn much has done.
But there's just this little puddle of crystal
clear
blue.
Crystal clear. There's like
Andor.
A natural reef and bay that has just formed right there. It
and
looks like that that blue hole
occasionally
spot
comes
somewhere.
In. It's a bit cleaner as well.
Yes.
Boba Fett's stuck in the grime, though.
God. It sucks. So that's the one thing I don't want more of. I'm okay with the more of the Andor.
Can't wait for the TV series, but when it comes to movies, I think it's time we move somewhere else. If post-Skywalker, pre, or way before, or way, 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 way ahead, you know, something like that.
Yep. So, that's what
Here's
I'm
a question
looking
for you.
For.
Do you know we've been talking, because this will kind of seek us onto the next story anyways, you know, because we're going to talk about some Skeleton Crew stuff that's kind of, it's in rumours, you know, none of this is hard fact. But one of the rumours we talked about in previous episodes was that Skeleton Crew might see them going to an unexplored part of the universe, mm-hmm. whether that be another galaxy entirely, or, you know, that's possibly close by, or just a completely unexplored part of this galaxy that we don't really know much about. What about, this is kind of related to what we just spoke about, what about some kind of sideways story that almost we don't know when it's set? It could have been set right in the middle of the OT, but in this completely different place, like almost see the Force in a different galaxy and how that defined its peoples, you know?
Well, so one, I am, and I say this because I pointed out the EU, at least references or analog with the Yuuzhan Vong and them coming from being extragalactic. And I mentioned the Outbound Flight Project, which was the Republic's scientific exploration beyond the galaxy. I don't want them to, and I also don't like muddying the Force any more than it has already been played with by people, including George himself and Dave Filoni. So this idea of the Force, and even Force users within the Star Wars galaxy now, like the Night Sisters being the rumor, being different in the Force because they come outside of the galaxy, that starts getting me worried about the scale of Star Wars even more, because it's like, well, if almost every, you know, if different Force users are different because of where they come from, are we really going to invite 3, 4, 5 galaxies worth of creatures?
See, I never saw it as the fact that the Force works different, just that I always think it's more. And remember, that's coming from a rumor site, so how they word it isn't necessarily going to be it's done. But to me, it was more like saying how people view the Force and use it.
Yeah, but
is different.
Again, you
but
don't
it doesn't
need...
mean the powers are any different. It just means there could
understand.
Be like a different religious order.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that, but you don't need them
powers.
To. I understand that as well, and I think we even talked about that a bit last week, so maybe my brain just having issues connecting it, but even maybe. Regardless, it still is it's an unnecessary addition and scale, and it really causes there to be a lot, because now you'll have those people that are like, well, let's go play in this other galaxy because it's a fresher sandbox.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been less
That's
cats shitting in this sandbox.
Mm-hmm.
But now what happens to the original? Now do we have this Star Wars label on everything? And because of how drastically different this is it really Star Wars? And I agree
with you there.
Yeah, you don't need them to be extragalactic in origin for them to have a reason for their beliefs or power for that matter to be different. Just having been brought up in an area less or more influenced by galactic politics is enough to make your entire culture and beings and people different.
Yeah.
So the scale.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, because for me, like, if you go to a different galaxy, the distances between galaxies are extreme,
massive.
Right? And most of the time, and when
distance
Pegasus,
galaxy edge
Pegasus
to galaxy edge
is crashing into our galaxy at the moment, and mm-hmm. it's still so far away, it's not even real, you know. And it's they're coming towards each other, which is quite unusual. Most of them are moving further away from it. So I don't know, they're saying it's a long time ago, so maybe it could be a point in the universe when galaxies were still closer together, which is a fact that was the case.
Do you really take the long time ago serious? Because didn't George say that it was just a storytelling thing?
It doesn't matter. It's
okay,
irrelevant.
Okay.
It does. Yeah. It really is irrelevant.
I know, because some people that one of...
technology, society could come up.
Right.
You know, at any point in time, it doesn't need to be referenced to where our contemporary time
I know
sits.
People that, and even will use the whole Indiana Jones wink, wink, nudge, nudge, see my movie and your movie thing as they're story-wise connected. I know people that do take the a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And that is another fear I would have, is them saying this new galaxy is our galaxy. Mm. No Earth Prime,
like
no Earth in Star Wars, guys. I know.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, they could just explain that humans at some point in the past seem to have spread everywhere. Maybe that's how we ended up on Earth. You know what I mean? Who knows? But at any point, you don't need to connect it. My issue with the whole other galaxies thing was that you would kind of, the point is that they are so far away from each other that they would go up independent of each other. You wouldn't have regular contact, you wouldn't imagine. That would be my guess. So it would be like how animals in Australia evolved completely different from animals in the rest of Asia because it split off millions and millions of years ago and was all completely separate. That's what you would expect from another galaxy. So it's almost like you're creating a brand new sandbox. And if you're creating a brand new sandbox, you don't have to stick to the same aesthetic, the technologies used. What's the point of calling it Star Wars anymore?
You're
kind of just getting, adding the label on for a selling factor or so you can use trademark stuff like the Force and lightsabers. You know?
That as well, indeed. And like I said, even if everything else being fair and perfect, the scale of it just starts getting ridiculous. And as much as I loved Star Wars Visions, I don't want Star Wars proper to become anime where everything is this power power crawl ridiculous.
Yeah, it's difficult to do that. I'm still interested to see where Skeleton Crew goes, though. You know, it maybe it's just an unexplored part of the galaxy, which is kind of cool, you know, and I'm all for that. In terms of the rumours about it, though, MSW did have, and this is a funny one because MSW, I read it through Best Ben Bulletin initially, and they had something to add to this as well, but the initial report came from MSW who'd said they were having problems. But I'll read it exactly what Best Ben Bulletin reported on it, which they then added to, which kind of gives you the full picture. The unfortunate part of the report is that MSW has heard from various people who formerly worked in Skeleton Crew, who's informed them that the shoot has been tougher than past California-based Star Wars productions. Crew members reportedly felt underappreciated, disposable, and disrespected, which resulted in low morale and many staff members leaving the production. Unfortunately, I too have heard similar things, and it truly saddens me. MSW specifically said the production schedule was grueling and the crew felt underappreciated, disposable and disrespected. There were management shifts and the morale fell pretty low recently. So that's the kind of rumours of, if you like, trouble on set. Now, whether this is a few people that maybe got the hump because they get rid of them or something and then went tattling tails, I mean, that's a hard thing to quantify. You know, was there five people that were assholes that left the crew and everybody else is like, actually, I'm really enjoying this. I don't know what those dicks were all about. I mean, you just, it's hard to kind of quantify that, but hey, that's the rumor anyway.
And
any thoughts on that?
Well, didn't we hear, what's his name? That's doing these movies or this series. Didn't we hear that some rumors not too long ago of people saying he's hard to work with, or was that Jude Law? I'm having trouble remembering. I have this memory. I'll try to look it up. Let's see here.
Yeah, this isn't. You know, normally if you say something like, oh, yeah, it'll come to me. But you know, I've usually got a good memory for this sort of stuff. It's not ringing a bell for
that
me.
That one's from 2 days ago, so that's not going to be
Let's see. I would have remembered writing it 2 days ago.
No. 2 days, what we are talking about now already, but what I'm... Something else. Sorry, I think I misspoke. I must have misspoke. We're good. Anyways. I mean, why would this one have issues? Because it's not a Filoni project, but neither was Andor, and that seemed to go relatively smooth. And as much of a god awful mess, you know, Kenobi
things
is,
happen on TV that, series sometimes. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't. As long as you get a good product, is it? That's my main concern as a consumer. I can't really worry about the ins and outs, as long as people aren't being like, you know, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, like humanitarianly, you know, not getting looked after and stuff like that, you know, that, that would be a concern. As long as it's all kind of above board, it's no major great to me. If somebody had a shit day at work, every time they went to work, skeleton crew, but they didn't when they went to work, and I don't know, something else. You know, the point is, the crew seemed to love making Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it was, you know, so... You know, and actually Boba Fett seems similar in terms of they all seem to have a great time making it, but it was a bit...
That was awful too. Maybe they do need a heavy hand there at the at the wheel.
Some of the classic films of all time had very troubled shoots and very well documented dramas that are far beyond anything that we've ever had.
You know what?
Star Wars movie.
I've thought about that before, hearing stories on all sorts of movies that you truly love, whether it's the original Ninja Turtles or it's Groundhog Day, if it's freaking Ghostbusters, if you know, there's lots of things.
Ghostbusters is a classic of, if you look at the concept of what it was when they first come up with what we got on screen.
Thing. Barely anything there. But it shows that, and the way they get to the finish line is because of dedication and passion.
And trying to make it work and admitting when it doesn't work.
And hardest. And so when it makes it to the screen, generally, if it had issues, not always. Sometimes hard things make it to the screen and
they're still shit.
The issues
are the result of why it's shit. You know, it does happen both ways.
Yeah. Anywho,
The other thing about that was there was some kind of plot information, if you like. Potentially, obviously, again, rumors, we can't say for certain, but we don't have any clue about this stuff ourselves. So this is what MSW said. Spoiler alert, potentially, people, if you don't want to hear anything about it. Sources have said Jude Law's character is a teacher, and the show is like a field trip in and out of the known Star Wars universe with the Goonies, basically. Jude Law's part instructor of the students, part, you know, the older kind of person that looks after them, as like Bran was in the Goonies. They contend with pirates in unknown territories. The journey takes them through rough spots into opulent places. And he also says he saw some masks of aliens that were used, and one of them was a Weequay that looked really like Hondo and Akka. But then, as I said in my kind of coverage of this, I'm not being specious, but all Weequays kind of look the same to me. I'm not being funny, but they really do. It's kind of just the same mask, but they put different things on them, like, to make them look different. So I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me why he would turn up. But at the same time, he's a fan-loved character. You won't know him because you don't really watch Clone Wars, but he is actually a really good character that you would probably enjoy.
They used him in Galaxy's Edge, didn't they? Any one of the animatronics there on the Millennium Falcon ride?
I live in the UK, you know, and I'm not rich. I remember these places. I will never visit any of these places.
No, I figured you remembered like seeing a news thing. Yeah, he is. He was used at like Galaxy's Edge. He's an animatronic there, so that's where I know him from. And not having been there, because I've never been there, I just saw the internet.
Clone Wars, he turned up Rebels as well. He was probably a bit better than Rebels because he was like older and kind of just more of a cocky criminal, if you like, that you kind of has got the best interests at heart, but isn't really a bad guy, you know, at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's one of those types of characters, a lovable rogue. That's the word I want to use. But I mean, whether he's in it or not, it's hard to say, but that kind of, I mean, we don't know whether this stuff is genuine or not, but it kind of matches enough of the little other tidbits that we've heard. Some of them coming from the same site, though, to be fair. You know, we've not had a lot of information from elsewhere that could sort of verify this and back it up, but they do seem to have a good hit rate when it comes to Star Wars stuff. So, you know, most likely they'll be, at least if it's not 100% true, there'll be 60, 70% of it that does fall in, because, like, you know, that just makes sense to me.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's that for Star Wars news.
Yeah, not too bad, guys. You guys got a nice little conversation there in the middle about what it would be like with other galaxies, and I'll say this: they get so wrapped up in focusing on this one small time period and group of people within the galaxy so afraid to go out of it that there's enough of a within this one galaxy to explore without having to bring in too much about others. Now, if it's just a, hey, these things came from outside and leave it at that.
Yeah, leave fine, it as a mysterious kind of place, yeah, that maybe doesn't need to get explored. Yeah, that's never, a different situation, but I don't want to see a set of movies in that other galaxy with a whole new sandbox and different rules and everything.
That's what a new franchise
that's
is
called
for.
Yeah, that's called a new franchise, and if people say you made it too close to Star Wars, then, you know, you probably did, and you'll get sued. Good luck with that.
Anyways, guys, yeah, that'll do it for us. Check out the website, lrmonline.com, every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, written articles, reviews, celebrity
interviews. All
this
stuff
interviews.
We spoke about, it's all on there.
All up there, and more. You can, if you're listening to this podcast on your favorite app, hit that red hit the follow button. We got a lot of great shows: Daily Cog, Breaking Geek, covering general geek and pop culture and entertainment. We've got AVR for anime, Marvel Multiverse for Marvel, and of course the Cantina for Star Wars. All of those get video format on YouTube. So if you like YouTube videos, subscribe to the channel, because we also have some YouTube exclusive stuff like the anime reactions and trailer reactions, so check those out. And that's it, Cam. That's the plugs, man. Anything else you wanted to say?
We're almost, because we'll be doing another one next week, won't we? That'll be kind of our last one before Christmas.
Absolutely.
So we'll wish everybody Merry Christmas at that point.
All right, guys. May the force be with you. Not unless we absolutely have to.
Yeah.
All right. May the force be with you.